Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Inside the Argos, 25 to the 23 at the 15-yarder. So almost on the red zone, but this time they'll get him. No flags fly. Did the ball come loose?
I think we had a fumble. I think that's UWF ball.
I believe it was Eli Webb who got to him, and the Argos forced the first turnover of the game.
Yeah, 6 minutes in. Well, 9 minutes in, I guess. So the first quarter, 6 minutes to go, and versus North Greenville, UWF sacks their quarterback and gets a fumble recovery. On the UWF 33, on the very next play.
With 6:12 left, no score here in the first quarter of this one. Argos back on offense as Stokes brings the offense back out. Pulls it out, a little RPO, got pressure coming, fires off the back foot. It's got Tyree Holloway, but it's picked off. Back-to-back plays, back-to-back turnovers.
We sack them and fumble and recover, and they pick us off. So, you know, it's going to be a game, all right? 5 minutes to go in the second quarter, so no scores in the first quarter. Second quarter, playing against North Greenville at home in the first round of the playoffs. And Marcus Stokes, quarterback.
Stokes claps his hands, takes the snap. He's going to run behind Sharp, puts his head down, and Stokes is into the end zone. Touchdown, Argos.
And so that put us up 6-0, and we have had place kicker problems all year long, so they decided to go for two, TJ Lane.
They'll go Buffalo package. They'll go two tight ends in the backfield. They'll run in the middle, easy money for TJ Lane, and the Argos will lead 8-0.
Yeah, pretty good start. So 8-0, and then with a minute and a half left to go, so 4 minutes later, game time in the half, whereas kind of a low-scoring first half at only, you know, 8-0, but still, okay, so UWF's going.
Second and 10 after the incompletion. No harm, no foul type thing. Just got a longer down the distance, back to pass. Nice pocket. Stokes gets flushed, stands in there, fires it, has a man. What a catch! Kendrick Watkins-Hogan, he's going to go the distance. Touchdown, Argos. That is the best catch I have seen this season, hands down.
54 yards from Marcus Stokes to Kendrick Watkins-Hogan for a fingertip catch that they said was, they thought was going to be way over his head. And he just jumped up to blip, blip. I'll take it. So
wait a second. Do that again.
Blip, 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 I'll take it. Yeah, that's the sound of a fingertip catch. In case you've never been close enough to hear it.
No,
that's actually what it sounds like. So 15-0 with under 2 minutes to go in the half. But remember, North Greenville's not a slouch team.
Rod Webb's going to have to find a way to get on Washam. Ramirez is looking to his right this time. Fires the middle of the field. Easy touchdown, Rasheed. The Argos lost coverage there. And give up easy one, and all of a sudden, North Greenville right back in the football game.
So 15-7 at the half, UWF ranked ninth in the nation. North Greenville not ranked. UWF, of course, lost their last game, annoying game that they lost. I mean, they shouldn't have lost it. It's hard to play the rest too, but they, you know, they had their chances and they didn't win anyway. So they're leading at the half, but only by six. So they're North Greenville's going to get the ball to start the half. So UWF is going to kick off.
The goal is to be playing past Thanksgiving. It's just so much fun once you get to this time of year.
Tyler Patterson go. They go squib kick on side kick, and the Argos get there. Yes, they do. Sean Payton, the ghost of Sean Payton in the Super Bowl, as Caleb Noble says, wow. Let's roll the dice. Kendrick Watkins-Hogue, who had the touchdown catch, flies down. That's a momentum shifter.
Who tries an onside kick to start the second half? They did. Caleb Noble's UWF coach, risky risk-taker quarterback, not a Pete Shinnick exactly kind of play, but pretty good. They picked that up, followed it up with.
Stokes will hand it off. TJ's going to bounce it to the outside, gets away from the first guy, inside the five, dies, hits the pylon. Touchdown, Argos. What a great second and third effort by T.J. Lane.
There you go. 11 yards he gets in. That makes it 22-7 early in the second half. But, again, North Greenville, not a slouch team.
Rushing here.
Inside the red zone first time today. A little jump pass, little Tim Tebow-esque, and they find easy money.
So 22-13 at this point. UWF is up 9. They're only about 4 minutes into the second half, so 11 minutes to go. 4 minutes later in game time, UWF has the ball on the 9.
Go right back to it from the 9-yard line, first and goal to go. They'll run Makai Stevenson in motion, and they'll run Stokes behind some big bodies. Marcus Stokes dives into the end zone, and the Argos answer North Greenville's touchdown with a touchdown of their own.
29-13 at this point. But again, North Greenville, not a laydowner.
They got a yard there, so they're at the one. It is fourth and goal from the one. Total power package, no wide receivers. They'll set up Means across in motion. Ramirez will keep it. Is he going to get there? Yes, he did. Just barely got tripped up, dove into the end zone. North Greenville had to have it, and the Blazers get it. 6 points on the board.
They fail to convert on two-point conversion attempt, so they stay down by 10. So 29-19 at this point, and this is where UWF really started to pull away. In the fourth quarter, 12 minutes to go.
Ron Giddens in as the tight end into the backfield. They'll go right back to the power running game. TJ Lane, big hole. Midfield, cuts it back to the outside. 40 into North Greenville territory. Inside the 30, inside the 20. It's Jay Sharp, inside the 10. Those numbers confuse me, but not Jay Sharp. He gets it loose, and the Argos get a big play in the running game. It's been a minute.
51 yards for Jay Sharp. They try two plays, one with Marcus Stokes and one with TJ Lane, but they give it back to Jay in just a second with 2 yards to go to get in the end zone.
This is just mano a mano. Jay Sharp inside, touchdown. It's only fitting he caps the drive.
36-19. A few minutes later, TJ Lane on the four.
Argos have been great from here. First down inside the 10, goal to go. They've been able to take advantage, full advantage of that today. Up 36-19 with 3:50 left. Can they do it again? TJ Lane bounces off the first try, puts his head down, sticks it in the end zone, and the Argos do. TJ Lane's been a monster near the goal line all season long, and he puts the Argos into the blue end zones once again.
43-19 with 3.5 to go. On the very next play, North Greenville from scrimmage down by a mile.
Go right back to it here on offense. Dylan Ramirez is going to have to air this football out. And the Argos come up with it. Interception.
There you go, and that's your game. So, UWF, it was a little, you know, uncertain for the first three quarters, and in the fourth quarter, they completely dominated North Greenville, and they win the game 43-19. They advance, and they will play again coming up this Saturday. So your Argos, this was not really that big of a test for the Argos. Nobody really expected them. I think they're undefeated against North Greenville in history, but still, you know, you got to win the games on game day, right, John? You got to actually win the games on game day.
You are correct. You have to win those.
You don't get to sit there like the Eagles and take a 21-point lead. I mean, you know, you're a Dallas fan, so you were thrilled, right?
But
I'm a Lions fan, so I was watching that, you know, last seconds kick to tie it, and then at the, you know, after everything else had happened, and you know, the Lions, I'm from Detroit, originally, you know, before I was from Chicago, and before I was from St. Louis, and before I was from Arizona, and before.
Oh my goodness, boy! I need to write it down.
We've lived a lot of places. I'll just put it that way. Okay. I mean, not a lot, like from a military perspective. Y'all lived a lot more places, but you know, we've lived enough. Okay, we've lived in a lot of places. So the Lions, I actually got lucky on this one. It wasn't scheduled to be on, but I happened to be watching Fox at the end of whatever game I was. Oh, the Packers game, I think. And I'm like, oh, look at who's on, the Lions. Oh my goodness. So they get the field goal to tie it up. And then in overtime, first play from scrimmage, Jahmyr Gibbs, a dur from the 31.
And I don't see him on the sideline, so I'm going to keep watching that.
There's Gibbs on first down. Jahmyr Gibbs across midfield. One man to beat inside the 20, the 10, touchdown on the first play from scrimmage in overtime.
69 yards.
And if you know how some people are fast, and then some people are faster than fast, and some people are like gone, that's Jahmyr Gibbs.
Right.
I mean, just crazy to watch. It was kind of funny because you know how sometimes they do the shot from like behind the quarterback looking at the field spread out, not sideways like you typically see it on TV, but looking from the end zone. And you can see one of the offensive linemen after Jahmyr Gibbs gets out like maybe 5 yards free. And there's still like six guys in front of him, and the guy's like, touchdown with his hands. And I'm like, oh, yeah, he knows.
Yeah, he knows, for sure.
Amazing. So fun games over the weekend, fun games. You had, oh, my God, did you see Notre Dame on Saturday?
No, I didn't.
Okay, so Notre Dame playing Syracuse. Notre Dame's ninth ranked. Okay, playing Syracuse. Notre Dame had 21 points before their offense got on the field.
Do what?
I kid you not. They got a pick six, a punt block six, and a pick six. Their defense scored 21 before their quarterback ever touched the ball.
Wow.
And they won 70-7.
Oh, man.
Rough day to be the Orange. Oregon dominates USC at home 42-7. Tennessee humiliates Florida in the Swamp 31-11. First time they've won since 2004, I think, in Gainesville. That was brutal. Miami beat Virginia Tech away. Lots of fun games over the weekend. A lot of people were idle. I mean, this is, you know, or playing the, I mean, I think Alabama had a tune-up game and Auburn had a tune-up game.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody, you know, that's that late in the season before you play the big.
And you would have thought LSU had that tune-up game.
Did LSU lose?
No.
Or just was close?
It was very close.
These games where you're like, it's going to be easy. What the happened? I don't know.
Exactly.
All right. It's Thanksgiving week, so that means the schools are all out. Although, you know, interestingly, all your public schools are out, but PSC is still operating.
Oh.
UWF is not, but PSC is. UWF, after they amazingly managed to pick just one person out of 84 candidates to be the president. Only Manny Diaz is qualified, according to Zach Smith. Surprise, surprise, surprise. I mean,
Gomer Pyle? Surprise.
Well, I mean, if Zach Smith says he's the only one that's qualified, he must be the only one that's qualified. That's all there is to the story. I mean, it's hard not to tell this story without digging a little bit on Manny Diaz, but, you know, I mean, does he have a PhD? And he doesn't. And he's the only one that's qualified to be president of the college. That's weird. Or, you know, the fix is in. Duh. I mean, this is, look, I don't have a problem with Manny Diaz as the president. I like Manny Diaz. I think, you know, I honestly have high hopes that he's going to make a good president. I don't know. There's one part of me that says, at least pretend there's a process. You know, that's one part of me that says, at least make a good show of it. We all knew this was going to happen. Everybody knew this is what was going to happen. You know, when DeSantis handpicks Manny Diaz to be the president, of course, and they make him the interim when they shouldn't have, and they get rid of Martha Saunders, which they shouldn't have, and, you know, all the things that got us to where we are today, and then they form this, I mean, pure dog and pony show. I think I'm going to start calling it Dog and Zach Smith show now. It's so ridiculous. He is an embarrassment. I mean, there's no way around it. He just is. I watch him on the PSC boards. I watch him on the UWF Board of Trustees stuff. So they're going to go through this process of screening these applicants, and they're going to, you know, make a big show of it. And then, I mean, if you're going to pretend, you cut to like five or maybe three. No, you just, we're just one. Here's your one. It reminds me of elections in Russia. You know, here's your, you know, well, I mean, sure, there's opposition candidates, but, you know, better not vote for them. And again, you know what it does? It winds up making Manny look bad by refusing to let there be an actual process to select him. Because it's kind of like you're saying he can't win in a competitive process if you got to go through this nonsense. Nobody else is qualified by, come on. But there, okay, in fairness, there is a part of me that's like, well, we knew this was happening. At least they're not pretending otherwise. We knew this was a fixed game to begin with. And, you know, it's going to be Manny, and we knew it was going to be Manny. And that's, again, I like Manny. I'm optimistic. I think he's going to be fine. Every part of how we got here has been wrong across the board. 523 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Oh, no. Stomach issues again?
Stomach issues?
Who are you?
Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Journey through a classic story of small wonders and big dreams.
Not a second can we spare, cause it all comes down to Christmas.
As one of America's favorite Yuletide movies comes to life. Ralphie, his family, and best pals. Live on stage. We triple dog dare you to miss the smash hit A Christmas Story, the musical.
Coming to the Sanger Theater in Pensacola December 2nd and 3rd. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. It all comes down to this, folks.
Yep, the entire season is on the line.
But my throat has officially thrown in the towel.
Sounds like you need Vicks VapoCool drops. They're max strength, hand vaporized sore throat pain.
Whoa! These VapoCool drops hit fast!
Speaking of fast, did you just see that play?
Yeah, he vaporized that ball.
That pun should have come with a penalty.
Vaporize sore throat pain with Vicks VapoCool drops. Use as directed.
Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app.
There are 206 bones in the human body. 207 if I'm watching Gossip Girl. Here we go. Maximum effort.
Just last night, I was reminded of just how bad it had gotten and just how sick I had become.
Good morning, 525 on News Radio 92.3, Informers Local Dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. You know, that Violent Femmes album, you know how sometimes people put out their first album, and it's just unbelievably good? That's that album. And then everything else they've done has been kind of like also there. I mean, it's good. It's the Violent Femmes. They're not terrible musicians, but compared to that album, and it's, you always think, you know, I mean, it could have happened like Van Halen. You know, Van Halen 1 is a unbelievable album, but then they kept making great albums, right? And a lot of bands, what they've got is like one great album in them, and they also make other stuff. 526 News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. Georgia Governor Brian Kemp is going to be setting a special election date soon for Marjorie Taylor Greene's congressional seat. She announced she's resigning as of January 5th. Green said her recent feud with President Trump and threats to her and her family's safety because of that were driving those decisions.
Is she running for president?
I don't know.
I mean, you know, everybody thinks they can until they do.
It's not a job I'd want. I always like to write in Andrew McKay.
Who's the mantle taker for president?
You do that also?
Yeah, I didn't. I thought I was the only one.
No, wow. No. I write his name down for everything.
Listen, it's a very,
one of these days,
it's a very
backfire.
Kind bit of fake flattery. But I, honest to God, you would not want me to be president. You would not want me to be governor. You would not want me to be mayor. I have no executive skills at all. I'm a talker. I'm a legislator at best.
Well, that's why you have me.
Right.
I can help you.
You want my wife to be the governor. My wife is the executive, right? She's the one who manages the accounts and fires people and, you know, hires people and does that kind of stuff. Like, anyway, go ahead, David. What else?
Well, Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem is announcing a $1 billion investment into new tech and security systems at airports across the nation. Her announcement came as she was making stops at airports over the weekend to hand out $10,000 bonus checks to TSA employees that didn't miss work during the government shutdown.
Bonus check for you! Bonus check for you! Did she? No? And never? No Oprah? Nothing? Okay, all right. Go on.
It would be a good opportunity to pull that one out.
I always think it's fun to have fun. So
absolutely. And Billie Eilish's 3D concert film is being released next year. I know you can't wait for that, Andrew.
I literally just fell asleep. What happened?
Wait, he bought tickets already.
Stop it.
Oh.
The singer posted on Instagram Sunday that the film, which was co-directed by herself and James Cameron, will hit screens on March 20th.
Without cyborgs or deep sea alien life or, you know, massive laser light shows that he has to beg his wife, Catherine Bigelow, to afford for Aliens? No, nothing? Nothing like that? Okay. You know that story?
No.
You know the opening to Aliens when the ship is frozen and comes back and it gets collected by the intergalactic harvester or whatever, and they go in and they've got the laser that goes over and they find Ripley alive and they're disappointed because they don't get the salvage. That laser that scans the whole interior of the cockpit, that was like...
Wait, what did it sound like?
See, yeah, I don't want to repeat myself. I don't have the cue handy again. But it was, it was some ridiculous amount of money. I don't remember. I'll make up the number, so I don't want. It was really expensive. Well, his wife was like the budget director or whatever, Catherine Bigelow, and so he had to like beg her to let me buy this laser to do this one scene. And it is an iconic moment, yeah. So, you know, the artist versus the accountant. That's my story. That's all I got. You done, David?
That's it for me right now, yeah. Right.
You got anything, John?
No, I'm not going to add anything to that.
All right, then let's talk about Christina Leavenworth, who sells houses. She sold 165 homes last year, 3 to 4 on average per week. She and her team at Leavenworth Realty. Now, in the height of the market, when it was hot and everybody, I mean, not like temperature-wise, but when everybody was selling every house really fast and the prices were skyrocketing, they sold well over 200 homes, okay? I mean, I think it was like 240. I'm going to remember, but it's something like that. But then, you know, the market has slowed down since then. And so they're down to like, you know, 175, 165, that vicinity. They're still selling a lot of homes. I mean, that is still 3 to 4 every single week. The reason I mention that is because when it's easy, it's easy. And when it's hard, well, the people with skills still prosper. And they know how to get it done. They know how to get you to close. They know, you know, all the way through closing. They know how to set the price and stage it and do the open house and follow up and do all the little things that get you a deal in the end. Instead of, as has been the case, people come to her after they've had 2 or 3 or 5 realtors fail to sell their home, which is crazy, but it happens, and she sells their home, and then it's fine. But you don't have to wait to be the sixth. You can call her first. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Trump delivering harsh words for Ukrainian counterpart on Truth Social, posting Ukraine leadership has expressed zero gratitude for our efforts. President Zelensky responding by thanking the president and the American people for the support for his nation, defending the Russian invasion. But is there a chance at peace?
The U.S. and Ukrainian governments say they've had a highly productive meeting in Switzerland, redrafting and revising a plan for peace. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says he'll keep working on proposals that strengthen his country.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. The Slender Man killer, Morgan Geiser, back in custody this morning, according to cops in Illinois. She busted out of a Wisconsin group home Saturday after allegedly cutting off her monitoring bracelet. Expect the airports to be filled today. As predicted, 6 million people begin their travels for Thanksgiving this week. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531, News Radio 92.3. It is 57 degrees right now. We've got cloudy skies here in Pensacola. We'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson here in just a few minutes. The University of West Florida has named its sole finalist to become the school's seventh president. Manny Diaz Jr., who served as interim president now since July, was selected out of 84 applicants. Diaz is a lifelong educator. He has served as Florida's education commissioner and worked in the state legislature. He's also held other roles such as teacher, coach, and COO. The UWF Board of Trustees will now be interviewing Diaz. They'll consider him for the job. A public forum with the candidate will be held at a future date. The board's decision is subject to approval by the Florida Board of Governors. The 6th annual Jubilee Renaissance Fair happened over the weekend in Milton at the Santa Rosa Fairgrounds. Attendees traveled back to the Middle Ages, enjoying traditional music, food, and entertainment. The highlight of that event was full contact jousting.
People, hundreds of shows, it's all over, TV shows, you know, Full Metal Jousting, it's everything is there. It's definitely the highlight that everyone comes looking for. And
that's one fan that was in attendance. Tickets were $25 or a little cheaper if people brought a non-perishable food donation. Now, all of those donations went to food-raising friends, and they're currently working on preparing 9,000 Christmas meals for students in need across Santa Rosa and Escambia counties. The organization says meal bags will be given to students whose families are in need, and they'll be selected by their school counselors. A three-vehicle crash involving an ambulance in Milton sent at least one person to the hospital with serious injuries over the weekend. Happened on Saturday night at the intersection of Dogwood Drive and Berry Hill Road when two cars collided and then struck a lifeguard ambulance. Dogwood Drive was closed for several hours as investigators worked that scene. Milton Police Chief Jennifer Frank is urging drivers to watch their speed, obey traffic signals, and always wear their seatbelts. The cause of that crash still under investigation. Another crash-related fatality over the weekend. A Pensacola man is dead after a crash in Baldwin County on Saturday morning. The 64-year-old was driving his Kia Beregno when he left the road and hit a tree on Berno Park Road north of Robertsdale. He was taken to Sacred Heart, where he died of his injuries. A passenger in that vehicle was also injured and taken to Baptist for treatment. The Alabama Law Enforcement Agency is still investigating that accident. A Seminole County nonprofit taking the state to court over the upcoming bear hunt. Bear Warriors United is suing to stop the FWC from having that black bear hunt, which is scheduled for December. A judge will hear arguments today. The FWC says the hunt is needed to reduce the bear population. Bear Warriors United's attorney says there's no evidence that bears are overpopulated. It's 5:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to be looking at a decent day today with temperatures starting off in the 50s. We are going to warm up around 76 degrees for your afternoon, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 67. Going into your Tuesday, 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 78 degrees. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 68 degrees. Going into your Wednesday, high near 75 with partly cloudy skies. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 57 degrees, cloudy skies. Our next news in 30 minutes. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent said the U.S. is not at risk of entering a recession in 2026 and claimed Americans would soon benefit from the Trump administration's economic policies on trade and taxes. Bessent acknowledged there were parts of the economy showing signs of struggle, including housing and interest rate-sensitive sectors. A new legal filing says that Meta has halted internal research that showed people who stopped using Facebook became less depressed and anxious. The legal brief is related to high-profile, multi-district litigation from plaintiffs such as school districts, parents, and state attorneys general against companies like Meta, YouTube, Snap, and TikTok. Americans are hanging on to their smartphones for much longer than they did a decade ago. But new releases like Apple's iPhone 17 can entice consumers to upgrade. While it may seem to be a smart money move, it can result in costly productivity and innovation lag for the economy. Futures are currently mixed. That's Your Money Now.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other show. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Call Jeff Wayne to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
If you have an HD radio in your car, you can listen to News Radio 92.3 from Fort Walton Beach all the way to the Mississippi line.
You heard me right. Here's how.
Tune to 98.7. Wait a few seconds until you see the HD signal displayed. Then turn the radio up two clicks to HD3. Then you can listen to Andrew McKay, Pet Talk with Meg, Marpy Van Camp and Robbins, and Petscola Right Now, all over the Gulf Coast. It's News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
State Representative for District 1, that's the northern big chunk of Escambia County, is Michelle Salzman. She's on the line right now. Michelle, welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
It's a good day for Pensacola.
This is a huge day. We have all of the dignitaries are here. I mean, we got Jay Collins is here. We got you are going to be speaking at this event at PSC. We've got it's a huge lineup for opening the Vet CV Foundation. Tell people what this is.
So the Veterans Resource Center, the Mission Next Center, is a vision I had a few years ago. I'd visited a military or veteran resource center in Central Florida with the First Lady and the Secretary, or the they call him the Executive Director of the Florida Department of Veterans Affairs, and a bunch of people. We were traveling the state doing panels on veterans, and we just happened to go there for one of the panels. And I was like, I really like this facility. And they said, yeah, nonprofits can come in and use the space if they need, so we can help veterans with issues they have. And I was like, I need one of these in the panhandle. So I told Hammer, which is the executive director, General Hartzell, I said, I need one of these in the panhandle. We have the largest military and veteran population in Florida right there, and we don't have one of these. And he said, well, I agree. You should do that. So for 3 years, we've worked on it, and we've kind of massaged the way we did it, and we changed how we were trying to do the lineup, because well, we were trying to make it the best way possible. And what we landed on was something that we have nothing like in the state of Florida. And from what I know, we don't have anything like it in the nation. It will be a one-stop shop for military active duty, their family members, or veterans, or their family members. Basically, you just have to be a patriot. You can call in, you can go in through virtual online, or you can walk into this facility. And you will be assigned an actual case manager, a social worker, if you will. We're calling them Patriot Navigators. And basically, those guys are going to say, oh, you need a wheelchair ramp or you need a claim done. We open up, we put you a file in this system, and then we connect you with a vendor that we have already approved and vetted. And we say, okay, this should provide that resource to you. And then we track all of that. We will be able to provide the metrics. It's in partnership with the Florida Department of Veterans Affairs, by the way, with the, all of the military installations. Those will be intricate partners as well. So that way, if an active duty military service member comes to us and says, I'm trying to buy a car or whatever, where should I go? Number one, we're going to connect them to Navy Federal Financial Resources. But number two, we're going to follow a certain protocol that the maybe NAS or Eglin or whatever installation has given us. So that way we make sure that whatever we tell that service member and their family, it's what the command wants them to have or the information they want them to know. So we don't get in the way of, you know, national defense. So it's a really, really unique thing. I can't tell you how excited I am about today. I've been shouting it from the rooftops for years now, and we're finally here.
Oh, that's great. And just to give a little sense of the scope of this thing and, you know, who's involved, speakers today at the event at PSC include Mamasan, Captain Chandra Newman, Thumbs, Captain Ted Elkins, both commanding officers for NAS Pensacola and NAS Whiting Field. So obviously the local military is very bought in on this. The Lieutenant Governor Jay Collins is going to be there. Nathan Boyles and you are all going to be there. And so the idea is, as I understand it, is a comprehensive resource for active duty and veterans and their families in order to find help for anything that might possibly be uniquely available to the veterans. So do I have the idea right? Is that what it is?
I think you did a good job. I was talking to my communications director. I've got all these smart people that help me do all kinds of things. And I spent like 30 minutes telling him everything you did, and he did exactly what you just did. He did like a couple of sentences, and it was. I said, "Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say."
So when people,
no, that's exactly it, and what makes. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just gonna say, like, when people go, it's at PSC, right? The actual physical structure is at PSC.
Yes, the Milton. So it's in Santa Rosa County, and that was intentional. We have a couple of military or veteran resource centers on educational campuses in my district, but obviously nothing like this specifically. But they don't have any at all in Santa Rosa County. So they have an AMVETS, they've got an American Legion, they've got a couple of veteran resource officers that help you file claims and stuff, but not a facility you can walk into, like nothing like what we have anywhere else. And that's where the biggest population is. So, I mean, not my district, but this is my problem. You know, veterans are near to my heart. Obviously, those are my brothers and sisters. So putting it in Santa Rosa County was critical for me as far as my vision of servicing veterans in the panhandle, not just in Pensacola. So we put it at Pensacola State College, Milton campus, who didn't have anything like this. It's a massive building with a conference room. It's got an event space, an outdoor event space, several offices, and it's totally free to any nonprofit that wants to come in and say, I want to host a class. I want to do a fundraiser. I need to do meetings. I want to help do a veteran service claim, and I'm tired of going to coffee shops. Like, this will be the place where anybody that's servicing military and veterans can go if you don't have a brick and mortar yourself.
Oh, man. So it's not just for, I mean, it is, of course, for the active duty and the veterans, but it is also an opportunity for the people who provide services to them to come in and have a place where they can connect, a meeting point, a central command site, a community center, or whatever you want to talk about. And I love the idea that, you know, case management, too, because, you know, there are so many resources out there, but if you don't know how to latch hold of them, then what good do they do you? And so it sounds like part of the core idea here is, here's what can be done to help. Let's help you get connected with the things that you might not know how to connect with, right?
Exactly. And it also helps us vet the organizations and understand what's happening. So the number one goal is to eliminate veteran suicide, if I'm being frank. We have too many former military service members that are committing suicide every day. And it's about giving them access to what they need to get them before they get to the breaking point. Your roof is collapsing on you. You need a roof. Let's find an organization that does grants or loans. Let's partner you with Navy Federal and get that low interest rate. Let's figure out how to help you as a person so that you don't get to the point where your roof collapses, you're homeless, you feel, you know, completely hopeless, and now you're with a gun in your mouth. Like, it really does start with, you know, it's a ripple effect. You have one tragedy after another, and it puts somebody in a dark place. So the idea of providing all of these resources to the veteran also will let us say, okay, we had 100 veterans apply for wheelchair ramps, but we never knew that we had that many veterans that needed a wheelchair. Obviously, we need to do better in that capacity. And part of the Mission Next Center will be fundraising for these organizations. So we'll have a pot of money. And so if you are a nonprofit and you provide equine therapy, and we have referred 100 people to you, and you only ever service 25, and you are way over capacity, you don't have the money to feed the new animals or buy the new horse or whatever, you can come to us and say, hey, Mission Next Center, I love this opportunity, but we are out of resources. And we can say, okay, Mission Next Center board, the Equine Center is applying for this much more money to continue operations through our services. And then we can help provide them with some additional dollars. So the idea is not just to take the resources and connect the veterans, but also try to fill the gaps as we learn where the gaps are. And because we are being so data-centric, we will be able to analyze what the immediate needs are, what the most needs are. And then we, as a state partner and as a federal partner, we can figure out how we can fill those gaps and help these nonprofits provide those services to the veterans as they come in.
Hey, more is better. If the veterans are getting, you know, things through this that they're not already able to find easily, or, you know, whatever. And as you say, at the end of the day, if it helps keep them alive and helps solve their problems, it sounds like a great thing. Again, the event is, this morning at 9:30. Is that right, Michelle? Up in Milton
it
at
is.
The
PSC.
I know. I will not be able to go, but I'm sad I'm going to miss it, because some of my favorite people are going to be there. You and
I know
Thumbs
Jay is such
Mama-san,
a good friend. And
Jay Collins, all of these folks.
Oh, Mama-san. We went to Mama-san for a meeting. It was supposed to be 30 minutes. We were there for over 2 hours. She was just going through. She said, you got to be with these people. She saw the vision immediately and was on top of it like you would not believe. And she's like, we're going to get all the installations in here. And, I mean, it was so great to see that she wanted to embrace the center as another opportunity to touch her military service members and family. So it's going to be a great event. Come on out at 9:30 today. We'll be happy to see you.
And you're not reinventing the wheel. Like you said, this is something you've seen done elsewhere, and that's why you've seen it work elsewhere. So let's try it here. Michelle Salzman, our state representative for District 1 in basically the north three quarters geographically, maybe more than that, of Escambia County. I used to say it's above I-10, but like I live south of I-10 and you're my representative. So, you know, it's a lot more than that. Michelle Salzman, thanks so much for the time this morning. Thanks for what you're doing. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. And by the way, just to be clear, in case you're listening to this today and did not know, this was from Friday and the event was on Friday. So if you go to BSC's campus in Milton today looking for a big show of politicians, you won't see anything. You'll be wondering, where is everybody? Well, not here. You're 3 days late. in the 5:30 segment, we'd like to give you a chance to hear whatever we think was the best interview from the prior day's broadcast. So that's Friday. 5:48 in News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, you know how you know when it's time? You know when it's time when you dread getting in your car. I mean, it can be time before you dread, okay? But if you get up in the morning, you're like, oh, I have to drive that again. You, like, get a new car. You can do better. You know, get a car you enjoy. Honestly, get a car you love. You deserve it. You know, get a car that you really, get a car you can afford. I'll never deviate from, you know, Dave Ramsey advice. But assuming that you're doing okay, get a car that you're going to enjoy. You spend an awful lot of time in your car. You spend a lot of time listening to me in your car. You know, you might as well have a good time at it. So like your car again and go to Frontier and find out what might be involved. And, you know, hey, look, I don't know where you're all at, you know, financially. Maybe you go and you look and you find something you love and you cannot afford it. Okay. Well, don't get a car you can't afford. But you're more likely to find a car you can afford at Frontier. Good quality used cars that they warranty to 100,000 miles or 10 years and take care of you. Find something that you like that you can afford, or find something you love. You might be able to afford it. And that's going to take care of you. And then you can stop kind of dreading the experience of, oh, I have to get in this car again today. It shouldn't be like that. You're better than that. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Get ready for a powerful conversation that could change your relationships for good. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this Wednesday at 9 as nationally recognized relationship trainer Julie Nice joins the show. With over 20 years of experience and appearances on Dr. Phil, Julie brings real talk and real solutions to the table. That's this Wednesday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
You take care of your car, right? So why not give your auto loan some TLC? Refinance an existing loan from another institution with PenAir Credit Union and lower your interest rate by up to 2%. Plus, you can skip payments for the first 90 days. In addition to a better rate, you'll enjoy convenient banking and a friendly local team always ready to help. Learn more at PenAir.org/auto-refi. That's PenAir.org/auto-refi. All loans are subject to approval. Offer valid on loan applications submitted between October 1st and December 31st, 2025 only. Call toll-free 1-877-4-PENAIR for complete details.
The cooler weather in Pensacola is a great time of the year for gardening. Whether it's planting roses, planting shrubs and trees in cool weather color, and of course, planning for spring. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesdays, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Bailey's Produce and Nursery.
All of your local news and talk from dependable host Andrew McKay on your morning drive with Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
Why so serious?
That's what people say about me all the time. He got a booty like a Cadillac, but I can send you into overdrive. I'm not even
going to. I had a comment, but then I was like, you know what? I'm going to let that stew. I'm going to let that cook.
5:52 on News Radio 92.3. Good Lord. Oh, yeah. We'll just move on to David Wayne. You made me blush. Wait, I made me blush. Wait, who's embarrassed now? David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
You made me blush. I don't know what.
Can't stop thinking about that booty. Shake that thing, Andrew.
Just going to let that one stew for a second here.
Bell-bottom jeans, boots with the fur, and the booty that sends you into overdrive.
That's
really just like the best description there ever has been of me.
So efforts to end the Russia-Ukraine war are now playing out overseas. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says the biggest problem with U.S.-led peace talks in Geneva over the weekend has to do with land. Zelensky told the Swedish parliament that legally recognizing and giving up land to Russia would violate the principle of sovereignty and territorial integrity.
Yeah, but, of course, what's the alternative? I mean, seriously,
what's
the alternative?
War just keeps going on.
Yeah, you're either going to have endless war or, you know what, in some mythical fairy unicorn state, Russia retreats back to the pre-war borders. Tell them to give back Crimea while you're at it. Like, that's not going to happen, but okay, here we are. You know, this is the real world in which sometimes people do evil things and there are consequences. So,
absolutely. An investigation underway after a Pennsylvania congresswoman's office was reportedly targeted by a bomb threat. Officials said the threat was made towards Democrat Representative Chrissy Houlihan's district office in Westchester last Friday came just days after a video in which Houlihan and other Democrat lawmakers told military members to ignore the orders issued by President Trump if they were illegal. And holiday season now getting into swing at the White House. Later on today, First Lady Melania Trump will take delivery of the Blue Room Christmas tree, picked this year from Michigan. Also, later this week, President Trump will pardon the turkeys for the Thanksgiving tradition.
It's one of the weirder things they do in the White House every year, like the Easter egg roll, the turkey pardoning.
Yeah.
It's a weird
one.
It's
fun, though.
I always think it's a little, you know, okay, we're pardoning these turkeys, and now let's go eat the other ones. It's kind of an odd just thing, generally speaking, but okay. David, thanks so much for the update. 5:55 on News Radio. Don't tell them. You know, they're going to be off in the happy farm, you know, recreating and wondering what happened to all my brothers. Well, you know, they were yummy. Let's see. What else?
They were yummy. Oh, my goodness.
I can't remember. Are you the cook in your household or not?
Oh, no.
Okay. Does Talisha, does she do Thanksgiving? Yeah. Are you eating at your house or are you going somewhere else?
Actually, her and Austin are cooking. My son are cooking.
Oh.
And we're going to stay at my house. My mom's
cooking.
Coming
skipped
over.
A generation on the male side for you.
It
your
did.
Son. Okay.
It,
all right.
It really did.
Yeah. Same in our house, by the way. I'm the cook, but my mom was the cook, you know. So my dad is alive. Because he can cook enough to stay alive, you know. And,
well, that was me.
But yeah, so I'm cook. We're having this debate in my house about I'm the only one that really likes the turkey, basically. So I cook it for me. And pretend I'm cooking it for everybody else. Everybody else likes some slice of the other stuff. They, you know, my wife likes the stuffing and the boys like the sweet potatoes and the, you know, and everybody likes deviled eggs. So we could just do deviled eggs and sweet potatoes and stuffing and be done with it. But no, I want a turkey.
Well, you know what? We're doing turkey, but we're also doing a brisket.
A Thanksgiving brisket.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the pilgrims did.
They did. Back in the day, they smoked it. I mean, it's going to be smoked and everything.
All
you know,
right.
With mesquite wood. And
of course.
Texas flair.
I mean, if you're going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, okay. I was almost not going to do it this year. I was almost not going to do it. And then I decided that, well, first of all, I think it's Publix has the cheap ones. They're only like 50 cents a pound, you know, and you don't have to do it. It's not like when you buy a $300 of groceries, you also get this. It's like for on its own. And I'm like, for that price, you know. But there is going to come a time probably when I'm not cooking Thanksgiving dinner anymore. And it's almost this year. It was almost this year. Yeah, but not quite yet this year. 437-1620. Oh, kind of an interesting note. The state of Alabama. This is kind of a wild one. The state of Alabama has, I guess, created different sections in its libraries for anything that contains same-sex materials in the kids section. So, you know, what we're doing in the schools, which is either removing books or sequestering books or allowing books, you know, in some cases, they are just plain moving them out to a whole different section. The Alabama Public Library Service, 200 libraries in the state, the group has adopted a new rule banning books with gender ideology from children's sections. So it gender ideology would be the, you know, transgender stuff, you know, born a identified blank at birth, but identifies as now. It's not clear to me whether this would also include any same-sex materials because those are different things. I know the holy acronym string lumps it all together like it's the same, but they are not the same thing. You know, who you want to have sex with is different from who you believe you are as a gender, right? I mean, those are two very different things. Anyway, so they've adopted a new rule banning books with gender ideology from children's sections. It also requires libraries to give library-specific library cards for children in addition to adults. I'm not sure what that means. I guess it would be that instead of having a library card to the system, you'd have a library card for that particular library, which that seems really, I don't know of any library service that works that way. But by the way, this is one of those issues where if you're going to understand it, you got to understand it. What people will say, people like me, conservatives, will say, well, why should gender ideology be in a kid's section? Just like why would, And Tango Makes Three, a gay penguins book, be in the kid's section? Well, the answer from their side is, if a thing is equal, then it has to be equal all the way. you know, you say, well, don't have it in the kids section. Well, do you have same sex? You know, do you have mom and, you know, my mommy and my daddy took me to the park today book in the kids section? Well, sure. Well, that's a sex book. How is that a sex book? Mommy and Daddy is a sex book, right? It's normalizing heterosexual relationships. It's setting a paradigm that the two-parent, different gender family is normal, and that's how it doesn't maybe get into the mechanics of how you got to the point of being able to be taken to the zoo, but that's a heteronormative is the word for that. And their argument is, look, that's picking and choosing, and you shouldn't be picking and choosing. If a thing is equal, then it has to be equal all the way down. Which is the argument for in schools. And so this is the question, you know, at what age should you introduce it? What age do you introduce regular parents? Well, you know, that's the question. So that's their side of the argument. Local.